You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 8:06. Welcome back. Nice to have you up north on this Monday morning, December 8th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy standing by in Madison Studio A1 at Civic Media headquarters. Coming up in our next half hour, Richard Trent, the National Executive Director for Main Street Alliance, a group of small businesses unhappy with the way that a lot of their employees are going to have to be paying a lot more for health insurance because of what congressional representatives like Derek Van Orden have decided this year while in power in Washington. So stick around for that interview. And we'll wrap things up with our final visit with Jane Matinair. This is the final week for Matinair on Air with Jane and Greg starting at 9 o'clock this morning before Jane's retirement. It has been a melancholy kind of few days here with Jane's retirement coming up. And my former co-anchor, Judy Clark, last Friday was her last day on air. We had her retirement party over the weekend. Again, just two wonderful, amazing broadcast legends who deserve all the good things that come their way. And that brings us to John and Gordy, two broadcast legends who have been told they will never be allowed to retire and enjoy all the good things that should be coming their way. Guys, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good. We're still here.
We're on all the time, Pat.
Yes. So. Yep. It won't be long until you're permanently wearing headsets and you're able to go about your day and you're just talking to the crowd while you're in the produce aisle at the grocery store or something like that. Entertain us that way. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. Light snow. I had to get out there and snow blow again. Mm-hmm. But this was easy this time. It wasn't the wet snow that I have a big problem with.
Yeah, they were calling for 2 to 5 inches, and it didn't hit us. Yeah.
Good.
It was not nearly that.
Yeah.
I think it was like maybe an inch.
Exactly.
We have had another instance. I believe this is at least the third of people going through the ice with at least 2 fatalities.
Oh no!
I bring that up just to again remind folks, it's way too early for that. Yeah, it's been cold outside, but it's got to be a lot colder for a lot longer before you even try that kind of stuff out there. Because I know I've been down there, Lake Monona, and I'm sure Mendota to an extent as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people love fishing out there all winter, but you got to wait.
Yeah, you got to wait. Exactly. It's way too early.
It just seems like a dumb idea to take a vehicle out on the ice.
Oh, yeah. And these are people that we're not even to that point yet. They're just walking out there and they're going on through. It's easy to misjudge the ice. I mean, we still have a bit of a local legend here about the time that we watched a road grader go through the ice. They were prepping part of the ice here on Lake Wissota for a snowmobile racing. Mm. They're like getting the oval ready to go, and they thought it was the ice was thick enough for a road grader, and they were wrong. Mm. So that is a very expensive towing bill to get things out of there.
Big one, yes.
Yeah. So come Packer Sunday, then. I mean, I've talked repeatedly about, there's a little local watering hole that we go to and, play games, for small stakes, of course, on the game and munchies and everything. Do you guys have a regular Packer Sunday routine, either one of you, or is it just kind of whatever your to-do list allows you to do?
Well, John has a regular routine. I kind of float around, but it was a terrific game. You have your routine where you're actually working during the game.
That's right. I'm looking at news stories and recording stuff for the show. And if the Packers lose, then I haven't lost any time.
But he has the game on in the background, and you probably have several TVs.
No, I've got my 65-inch OLED TV on. And I'm watching the Packers in high definition, and I'm just having a time of my life. But if they're not doing well, I get work done anyway.
So to what degree would you call yourselves multi-screen viewers? Like, you know, you've got the game on, but there's something else that you want to see as well. So I don't, you know, or maybe you're just going through social media and everything. Are you, do you do a lot of dual screen viewing with your TV time nowadays?
Boy, I sure don't.
Not really. I just use the laptop. I'm working on that and, you know, using the TV just for what a TV is used for.
I actually have been doing a lot of, on weekends, just staying away from social media. I've really been trying to put my phone on the other side of the room, wherever I am, and not get on the laptop as much. And I'll have the TV on, but again, that's kind of in the background.
I know I've carried it too far when, like, when there's a debate, say a gubernatorial or a presidential debate, and I will sit on the couch and watch it, and there's a laptop open in front of me for taking notes and things, but I'm also looking at my phone at social media and looking at the feedback of people about this candidate or that candidate. And the first time you realize you're doing a three-screen viewing of an event, you're like, maybe I need to unplug, you know. But but at the moment you're doing it right. You're like, I am all coverage all the time. I'm like Al Franken in the old Saturday Night Live bit with a little satellite dish on his head, you know? That we have actually come to that point in our communication. So is it possible to be too connected? Oh, yes. oh, yes, it most definitely is.
But I think so. I kind of like being connected.
Yeah, John has his wristwatch on 24/7.
I do. It shows me everything. It shows me my text, everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Email, I mean, it tracks your heartbeat. Mine tracks, you know, breaths per minute, you know, while you're sleeping. Wow. And it's how we discovered I had sleep apnea. To end up getting, so it can do all kinds of things, but I mean, you've got info all the time, and information overload is a very real thing, you know.
Well, don't tell me that now that I've ordered and I'm getting my AI glasses.
Oh no!
Soon.
Yes. Oh hey,
couldn't cancel.
That reminds me, there's a story I want to ask you about, and the AI glasses are the perfect way to go about it. So I saw this story as I was scrolling through social media, and I guess I don't want to give away the punchline, but I need to so I don't fool anybody else. This is not a real news story, but I did not know this at the time. And I'm scrolling up and I see, and it says crane collapses at stadium under construction in Nashville. And you're looking at the video, and sure enough, here's this construction crane, and it comes down and it hits the top edge of the stadium. Now, I thought it was a little funny that I didn't really see, like, sadly, we all remember what happened in Milwaukee back in 2000. We saw, you know, exactly what kind of damage there was. But this is like the crane fell and into, like, sat there against the edge of the stadium, which should have been my first clue. But it wasn't. I thought, oh, no. And I started looking around for other news coverage of it, and I'm not finding anything. And then you look at the very bottom of the original post, and it says, this video generated by AI. And I'm like, you sons of, and I, you know, like, you can't be doing that, putting up, you know, a legitimately fake news story and then mention at the very bottom that this was an AI thing, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I think of myself as a savvy, you know, news consumer, internet viewer. And yet, you know, if I'm looking around trying to get a second source on this, how many other people don't? You know, and just run with it. So, John, you go ahead and get those glasses, but I feel like we got to tape a little warning label on the inside of it. Don't believe everything the first time, you know?
Well, you see, they even had a notification that it is a fake AI generated video.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they told you that. You
at the very bottom.
You didn't look for it. Yes. And the problem is, even if they put it on screen, we don't see it sometimes. And we do pursue, and we look up the story, and we try to get a second source, and we don't get it, and then we don't use it.
There was an instance last week as I was watching TMZ about somebody who'd put up, a fake AI video who's in prison? Diddy is in prison right now. And it was, Diddy. You know, him having the best time. And you saw the TMZ watermark on the video and they had to make clear, no, that's not our video. So you can't even trust if it's watermarked, that is a legitimate source of information. I don't know what to believe anymore, guys. I don't even know that I'm really talking to you two right now. This could all be Catherine down there just putting words in a keyboard and making it come out of your robotic mouths over there.
Yeah, well, sometimes we feel that's the case.
We
anyway.
Don't want to let the cat out of the bag here, Pat.
See, now I know it's not real, because otherwise what you would have said next is, no, Pat, but Catherine is extremely talented and is fully capable of doing these wonderful things, but you didn't say that, so I know it's not Catherine typing things up back there. What else gets covered on a day like this where the Packers win and everybody's in a good mood starting off the week?
What a fabulous game that was, man.
Yes, yeah.
Just great.
That's the kind of game that everybody remembers between the Packers and the Bears. I mean, this is the kind of game we love to see. And they are really, truly in the game. I mean, I have to say that I think the Bears played well. I mean, they really hung in there till the end. That interception in the end zone you know, killed it, of course. Yeah. But, boy, they were threatening.
Yeah. Caleb Williams had a wonderful game till that.
Yes.
till and the question very end of the game.
The question they were asking at before the pass was, you know, if that could have, when I first saw the ball going through the air, we all thought the same thing. Oh, you know, they're going to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then the question that they were already asking was, will they just kick the extra point and go to overtime? Or will they go for two and try to win the game right there?
Right.
And I mean, obviously we won't know the answer now, but my guess was that they were going to try to go for two and just win the game right there.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, that was the whole thing. And that's why, you know, everybody kind of worried, especially when that pass was thrown. We thought, oh, no, not an easy touchdown. And then a 2-point conversion. But thank goodness all of that went to the wayside once it was intercepted.
And it was a cold day. It was a cold day, but it wasn't like a snow globe situation. Like there was a game in Buffalo yesterday where, again, you know, you could barely
see.
You could barely see. And now they've got the graphics, talk about things that aren't real, that superimpose the field markings on there so you can see where the yard lines are.
Oh, wow. I hate those. I think
you hate those?
Yeah. I hate when it's snowing and they put the grid. I think that looks awful.
Oh, Parker, I got to take you back to the Fog Bowl then. That game at Soldier Field sometime in the 90s where you couldn't see anything unless it was right in front of the camera.
That was crazy.
That was an amazing game, and ever since then I'm always amazed at, you know, the way that the technology does the field markings. Now of course they're measuring the strike zone in baseball and everything else that it allows you to do. So on the one hand, I'm saying, hey, don't believe all the technology. And on the other hand, I'm like, isn't this technology great? We can do anything we want. You know, as long as we trust our robot overlords to not manipulate the sports for us.
You know? That's right. But, you know, I questioned some of the calls by the officials. Those catches. There was a catch, a definite catch, and then they said it really touched the ground. I completely disagree with that.
I did,
but,
too.
You know, they always do this to us. They always give the advantage to the Bears every time we play. I don't know what the officials are getting paid. Boy, oh boy, they're making a lot of money from the Bear team.
I don't know. There was
I'm just insinuating. That's all.
There was a game or two in the recent past where it looked like we might have gotten a couple of breaks. So, I would like to think it all evens out, but you know, we'd have nothing to talk about if there weren't these perceived injustices.
That's right. We can make that up.
Yeah,
sure.
Did you watch any college football, Pat? Or?
I did not.
There was a great game between Indiana Hoosiers and the Ohio Buckeyes.
Oh, yes.
That went right down to it, and Indiana won. And that's the first time they've won the championship since 67.
The Big Ten championship, and they're still the number one and two ranked teams in the country and still could meet for the national championship. So we'll have a little something to follow, and John and Gordy will do that weekdays across the Civic Media Network in the afternoon, and of course mornings in Madison on 92.7 WMDX. Thank you guys very much.
All right, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, have a great start to the week. We will be back still ahead. Richard Trent will be joining us from Main Street Alliance. He's the National Executive Director. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So Well, I mentioned you could hear John and Gordy weekdays in the afternoon now across the network and mornings at the Civic Media Station in Madison. And if you'd like to track where all the shows are, what they're talking about, who's been a guest, and more, sign up for Civic Media's daily newsletter filled with show highlights, links, and more. CivicMediaToday.substack.com. Again, CivicMediaToday.substack.com is the address to go to and subscribe to the Civic Media daily newsletter. So today, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be hearing arguments in a case that could undo the many independent agencies that oversee everything from consumer protection to worker protection to environmental protection to and much more, and determine if there will be mostly independent boards that can deal with these issues that are specialized and could really benefit from experts, or if political lackeys will be the ones who are running these all the time, and that public service will completely be based on partisan whims. And based on the current record of the conservative justices at the U.S. Supreme Court, it's looking a lot like independent agencies may be on the way out. Chief Justice John Roberts has been making that case for more than 40 years, back to his days as a young man working in the Reagan administration. And in 2010, he wrote a Supreme Court decision all about independent agencies and boards, and says they prevent a chief executive from being fully accountable for discharging his duties. That certainly is one way to look at it. Give a listen to this list. These are, I don't dare read all of these, but all of these independent agencies could be impacted if, in a case before the Supreme Court today, they ultimately rule that a president on a whim can fire all the members of the board, put his own political stooges on there. They can fire people at will rather than with cause, and greatly change the public service trajectory of these agencies. And before I even read it, I mean, just keep in mind what we already learned, what happened on Friday when an entirely new panel that talked about recommendations for vaccines removed the recommendation for a vital hepatitis B vaccine for newborns, and the incredible damage that could be done to babies' health moving forward as a result of it. And that's just one board where, again, President Trump was able to fire everybody and put a bunch of quacks on there instead. Now imagine that happening with the Chemical Safety and Hazard Investigation Board. Just imagine a bunch of, you know, corporate stooges on that one. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Well, let's just load that one up with a bunch of hedge funds managers. The Commission on Civil Rights. Well, you can imagine the white supremacists that could be appointed to something like that. If, again, you've got a Congress that has abdicated any oversight when it comes to vetting these nominees. There's the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which brings me back to the really old Saturday Night Live skit with Dan Aykroyd, The Bag of Broken Glass. And what a great kid's toy that would be. And we have a Consumer Product Safety Commission that theoretically could move in that direction with this Supreme Court case that's being heard today. There's the Federal Labor Relations Authority, again, talking about workers' rights, the Federal Maritime Commission, the Mine Safety and Health Review Commission, the Federal Trade Commission, the Legal Services Corporation that helps provide legal aid to low-income Americans for civil cases. There's the Merit Systems Protection Board that, again, helps protect federal workers from political interference. There's the National Indian Gaming Commission, the National Labor Relations Board, the National Transportation Safety Board. How much better or worse would you feel getting on an airplane if it was not only Sean Duffy as Secretary of Transportation, but that he and Donald Trump got to pick who was on the National Transportation Safety Board? There's the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission, the U.S. Institute of Peace, which Donald Trump has now renamed the Donald Trump Institute of Peace, for a guy that is doing exactly what Vladimir Putin wants him to do when it comes to the war in Ukraine. And of course, there's the U.S. Postal Service Board of Governors, as we learned in Trump's first term, putting Louis DeJoy in as Postmaster General, somebody whose entire business experience is about the private companies that would like the U.S. Postal Service to go away. And Postal Service took a big hit as a result of the actions in Trump's first term. And that's not even counting the ones like the Federal Election Commission, National Credit Union Administration, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the International Trade Commission. These are all independent agencies that risk losing their independence in a case that's going to be taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court today. We may not learn the ruling until June, but I have a feeling the arguments that we're going to hear today will make clear that at least five, maybe all six conservative justices will take steps to dismantle the independence of these agencies, which it is, again, it's easy to just bring up the word bureaucrat, and it's easy to bring up the word regulation. You have to work a little harder to replace bureaucrats with the word experts and replace regulations with the word protections. Now, I'm not saying there can't be over-regulation. I'm not saying that there can't be some bureaucrats who are bad at their job or not really compassionate to the people who are filling out applications and asking for help. But now try getting rid of all that entirely. Try going to the other extreme side of that equation. Tell me how that isn't so much worse than what we've got right now. Coming up next, Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance, a group of small business owners who do not necessarily align with big business when it comes to what Congress and the president should be doing in the nation's capital. We'll find out about their latest public awareness campaign coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Remember to get yourself signed up for the Up North News newsletters, plural. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, be part of our weekday newsletters that Ellie Bordeaux puts together. There's an edition today that has more suggestions for great community gift giving over the holidays. And of course, there's my Sunday morning newsletter as well, with more of a bent on Wisconsin politics and a question of the week this week that asks about wedding barns and whether these small rural businesses should be getting a fairer shake from the legislature when it comes to alcohol sales. So again, sign up for those newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. We're going to bring back in Richard Trent here from Main Street Alliance, and he's the executive director of Main Street Action and Main Street Action PAC, and all about a campaign that is helping to bring attention to something that we can't change it now. You know, the big bloated boondoggle has already passed into law with all of the impacts that are going to come from it. There's going to be a vote in the Senate this week on those enhanced premium tax credits. But as Congressman Mark Pocan told us last week, probably nothing much will come of it. But just because there's nothing that might change now doesn't mean we should stop talking about it and holding to account the people who put us in that position. And Richard Trent joins us now to talk more about that. Richard, good morning. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I am very, very good. How's your day going?
It's going well. Thank you very much for being here. You announced recently the launch of a multi-state congressional accountability campaign to inform voters about the harmful impacts of that mega bill that President Trump and Republicans pushed through. And there will be some targeted congressional districts, including the 3rd Congressional District in Western and Central Wisconsin. Tell us a bit more about Main Street Action and the decision to have this kind of a public awareness campaign get launched.
Absolutely. I mean, the big push, big idea behind this accountability push is that so many leaders, elected officials, will use Main Street folks and folks back home and constituents and small business owners as these props to talk about how they really have a vested interest in seeing their communities do well. And then they go back to Congress and they pass something like the big ugly bill, which is a massive, you know, tax cut for the wealthiest people in this country and a massive gutting of the care infrastructure that actually keeps a lot of our local economies thriving. This accountability campaign is designed to make sure that those elected leaders can't just come back home comfortably, walk into their coffee shop, walk into their neighborhood bar, and not hear from people about it, right? Like they've gone on too long, sort of under the cover of, oh no, we're pro business, pro Main Street, while actively passing policies that destroy local business, that destroy the viability for a lot of our local entrepreneurs, and we won't have it. So that's what Main Street Action is taking on. Wisconsin 3 is kind of a focal point because Derek Van Orden is kind of an exemplar of this talking pro Main Street and out of one side of his mouth while actively passing policies that destroy Main Street out of the other. And so we want to make sure that he hears from his constituents that you can't keep doing this and expect it to go unnoticed.
It is odd that a congressman like Derek Van Orden, who hasn't held a genuine town hall, would go before a group as he did recently, a group of young Republicans having their 1848 gala in Oconomowoc. And his quote to them was, "I'd take a punch in the face for you. I will fight tirelessly for your freedoms." So Derek Van Orden says he'll take a punch in the face for you, but he won't hold a town hall for you, it seems.
Not only will he not hold a town hall, he'll also actively make it harder for working families to access affordable health care. I mean, this is maybe one of the most despicable aspects of kind of the recent legislative cycle. But you've got $4 trillion in tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, and then you've got a massive destruction of the care infrastructure that a lot of folks rely on. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise that some of the weakest and most sluggish economies in this country are also the most sick and under with the worst access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. I mean, Iowa's a perfect example where we've got a lot of members and when we're growing fast. Unbelievably high cancer rates, constantly at the bottom of the list for America's economies. That's not a coincidence. If people are too sick to show up to work, if families are actively having to choose between collecting a paycheck and taking care of loved ones, then you're not going to have a thriving economy. And so this is what we want folks like Derek Van Orden to hear and to know that his constituents understand kind of the double talk that's happening.
We are visiting with Richard Trent. He's the executive director. MainStreetAlliance.org is the website. Main Street Action, Main Street Action PAC is the group that is having this congressional accountability campaign. Let us, though, Richard, go back to basics for just a moment. I try to do this every time we've got somebody from Main Street Alliance on, because there is this oversimplification that all business must be, you know, Republican, conservative. They're against the Affordable Care Act, things like that. And I always want to make sure that, you know, we point out the difference between these great big businesses that can offer their employees, you know, health insurance plans versus what small business owners want to be able to see for their own employees to have a level playing field when they don't have the means to offer their own health insurance plan. So there's definitely not a one-size-fits-all when it comes to businesses and policy.
One of the things that we do at Main Street Alliance and Main Street Action Fund is pointing out how the patchwork care economy, the fact that, you know, some folks that work for massive corporations get health care while the vast majority don't, is the thing that is actively contributing towards more corporate consolidation, more corporate concentration, and destroying competition at the local level. Right now, about 75% of working Wisconsinites do not have access to, for instance, another key care policy, paid leave, right? Paid leave is, if you woke up tomorrow, God forbid, and a partner was sick or diagnosed with something, paid leave makes it so that you don't have to choose between giving that partner or that loved one adequate care and continuing to collect a paycheck for your job and just keeping the family going. That so many large corporations have enough of a largesse to offer their employees paid leave or offer their employees consistent health care means that they have a competitive moat surrounding them. And it makes it harder for other businesses that can't offer health care, that can't have a state-backed paid leave policy competing. And so this means that 75% of Wisconsinites without paid leave, that's 3 out of 4 Wisconsinites that are struggling right now in the event that something tragic happens to their family. We have to uplift the voices of small business owners that are real visionaries for their communities. So often small business owners, and this goes back to your sort of larger question around, you know, big small businesses versus little small businesses and true small businesses. So often, you know, small business owners get this rep as being like, you know, they only care about what, you know, what's going on with their business. That couldn't be further from the truth. My job of talking to small business owners, it's helped me realize that first and foremost, small business owners, a lot of them start their enterprises because they're being responsive to community need, because they heard folks in their community say, hey, you know what this town could use? XYZ. And then they actually started, right? These are community servants. And so they also have been visionaries for their community, helping us see the policies that can actually make our community stronger long before the elected officials even have the courage to fight for these policies. And that's what we're trying to do with things like with this accountability campaign around healthcare, with paid leave, which we believe is going to be introduced in Wisconsin House in the next couple of days here. We have to move from this is just how it has to be sort of, you know, Main Street talk to we can have nice things. And it's always been the small business owners at the local level that have been invoking that message.
Yeah, and again, for a party of Republicans that likes to talk about being in favor of their hometown businesses, this would instances like this would be their chance to show that. We're talking to Richard Trent from Main Street Alliance and Main Street Action about a visibility campaign that not only is targeting the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin, but also a district in a couple of districts in Iowa, a district in Virginia. In every case, making sure that some 30,000 people or more in each district understand through, you know, billboards, digital ads, direct voter texting, that health insurance rates are about to go up in a huge way, and that it didn't have to happen. And I guess, Richard, that is the thing that still is most frustrating, is that this didn't have to happen because this isn't saving anybody any money. All of these cuts and all of these premium hikes are all in service of tax cuts for the very wealthy. And that, again, that's great if you're in the upper crust here. But if you're a Main Street business right now, this whole thing just has to feel so unnecessary.
No, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And the budgeting and the tax policy for this country, it's important because it's where this country's values actually show up. And what we saw pass back in July with a big ugly bill and sort of subsequent pieces of legislation that have or sort of the looming expiration of these Affordable Care Act subsidies, you've got the Amazons of the world, the largest corporations in this country, functionally paying a tax rate of zero, while working families continue to pay, 20-30% of their income. And all this is happening in the backdrop of legislators making the wager of, well, we can pay for these massive, again, $4 trillion in tax cuts for the wealthiest corporations and Americans by slashing Medicaid, by slashing SNAP and food stamps, by allowing these Affordable Care Act subsidies to expire, so that in some places in Wisconsin, people's premiums are going to double and triple. That's not hyperbole. I think that's what we want to make clear in this accountability campaign. Some of the numbers around the healthcare premium skyrocketing sound so ridiculous that people often think I'm joking or speaking in hyperbole when I'm talking about it. I am literally saying that in Derek Van Orden's district, you're going to see working families, especially older couples that are still working, their premiums are about to go up 75% on average. These are not exaggerated claims. It's what's going to happen unless we speak up. And I find that me and the small business owners, the 30,000 small business owners in our network, the 2,500 plus small business owners that are in Wisconsin, we have to find the strength and the poise just to make it through some of these conversations with elected officials because of how infuriating it actually is. And if you allowed yourself to just succumb to the anger and the Fury, then it would be really, really bad. And so I'm amazed every single time. Chef Dan Jacobs of Milwaukee, of Dan Dan fame, he's in D.C. this week testifying on healthcare. Diagnosed with Kennedy's disease, which often gets mistaken for ALS, debilitating neuromuscular disease. Folks like Dan Dan, who have made Milwaukee and the surrounding area unbelievably vibrant and dynamic places, are we really going to tell folks like him that, oh no, well, we've made the decision to trade off healthcare for you for tax cuts for the wealthiest corporations in the country? No way. And so that's what he's here in D.C. talking about.
And again, keeping that visibility up, because just resigning yourself to that kind of fate isn't going to fix anything. So to learn more, you can head over to MainStreetAlliance.org. There's so many other issues that we didn't have time for this time. Everything on healthcare, paid leave, housing, and more, issues of fairness, issues of freedom, like tariff policy, access to capital. So head to MainStreetAlliance.org to learn more. Richard Trent, thank you so much. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Pat. Always good to see you.
All right. You have a great day there. When we come back, we will visit with Jane Mantenere one more time on these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One last time. Relax, have a drink with me.
One last time. Look, Parker.
Nicely done, Parker.
Busting out the Hamilton here.
That's great.
For one last visit with Jane Mantenere.
Such a great song.
It is. This is a limited time offer, folks, to hear Mantenere on air. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11. Well, at least five more times. That's
five
it.
More times.
Then this
five
limited time offer goes away as Jane Mantenere joins us now. You had such a smile on your face when you first came on, like, this is it. You know, you've worked, you know, for decades to get to this point, to call your own shots, and it's got to feel so good.
It really does. I had a good friend text me over the weekend and just said, hey, you know, your last week's coming up. How are you feeling? Well, you know, what's it like? And I said, obviously, there's lots of mixed emotions. I'm going to miss everyone so much. I'm going to miss Greg and Calvin and just the discussions that we have and all the laughs that we have. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but that's kind of through line through my life is laughter.
Yes.
That's what keeps me alive,
right?
And keeps me relatively sane. But so I'm really going to miss that, but I am not going to miss the drive down here. Mm-hmm. It takes me about an hour and 15 in the morning because I take this long circuitous route because I'm afraid of everyone else on the freeway because they're insane. So, and I told her, I said, you know, there's a little, it's strange not having what's going to be on my schedule. You know, yes. I've been so highly scheduled and we live by the clock so much. That's what we do. It's the nature of our job. But I said, you know what? I'm satisfied. I am satisfied. And I don't know that you can ask for anything more than that.
Exactly. And I've pointed out the parallels multiple times here that my former co-anchor, Judy Clark, Friday was her last day before retirement. We had her party on Saturday. This is the first weekday that she's woken up in 40 years and not had a radio or TV job to go to. And she couldn't have been happier about that, because this business, you know, a lot of times you don't get to set the terms of when you're going to do something else. And so, you know, it is a real testimony to Judy and to you that, you know, after years and years of patience and service, you get to dictate the time when you don't have to make that drive anymore. You know?
Well, and I am so grateful to Civic Media for giving me this opportunity and allowing me to do it in the way that I want to do it. That doesn't happen. You know that as well as I do, Pat. Mm-hmm. In so many instances, we don't get these choices. And so for Civic Media to give me this gift is huge. I'm really, really grateful.
From Jim in Brookfield on the text line. Hello, Jane. This is Jim in Brookfield, currently in Malaga, Spain, wishing you a long and happy retirement. I'm listening when I can, but we'll probably miss your last day and want to wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Jim. That is so lovely. Jim knows one of my sisters.
Oh, yeah. And Jim and I met a couple of weeks back as he was passing through the area.
Just yes.
Wonderful person. Yes, we realized we had shared history in trash. He'd worked in like environmental engineering work, and that involved a lot of landfills. And as a young reporter, I basically had the landfill beat.
Oh, you lucky man.
As these county landfills, you know, either closed or went private or had leaks or whatever the case may be.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you see, you never know when your career first starts. And, you know, my journalism professor saying, oh, Mr. Kreitlow, yes, you must cover the county board solid waste committee because the trash is where the money is.
Trash is where the money is.
And I could not have seen at this point that you know, 40 years later, it would lead to this point. But, you know, you never know how the road twists and turns along the way.
And how things are going to come full circle in some ways as well. Yeah. You never know. You never know these little connections you make.
And I think now Judy, for example, had so many co-anchors. I'm very proud to have been one of them, but in a small market TV station, there's a lot of people that come and go. You have been partnered up with so many folks over the years at different stations as well. Sometimes I wonder if you had to write them all down someplace.
I actually did because when I was at the mix for almost 24 years and I had 9 different partners.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them lasted 3 months.
Yeah.
Some of them lasted 3 years. Some bodies have never been found. I don't know. We don't know what happened to them. They should be fine. I hope they're fine.
I hope so.
No, but yeah. So I actually had to write down all 9 of them to try and get them in the right order because not all of them lasted for all that long, and it wasn't my fault.
No.
Trust me, they never asked me my opinion about, we're thinking about getting rid of this guy. What do you think? No, that wasn't how it worked.
No. And people do. They think behind the scenes it's just, you know, complete diva stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, trust me, it doesn't work that way. I've tried, but it doesn't always...
I tried to get rid of people, and
And the other thing about this is talking about co-anchors and partners on shows and things, you cannot invent chemistry. It's either there or it's not. I'm sorry, that's just 100% true.
Without a doubt. And unfortunately, in some of my iterations in the past, management has thought you can just put any two people together because all you do is talk. How hard can that be? Mm-hmm. No, chemistry, like you said, Pat, it's a magical thing. Yeah. It is a magical thing when you get it with somebody like Greg and I have, like I had with Kristen, and like I had with a number of partners over the years. So, too, that was a big gift. I've worked with fabulous, fabulous people.
And sometimes you don't know. I'm not saying that you always know right away. Sometimes there's this initial period and you go, oh, I just don't know about this. And then other times it's like,
clicking.
I would not have guessed that we would click. And yet here we are doing this thing. So it's great. It's just, again, a wonderful thing. You're going to hear this all week long. Mine is going to be the least maudlin about it because I don't feel like I'm that far behind you.
I could
not be happier for you. And I know that, you know, anytime you can get a real sense of mission accomplished after decades of work, that is a pretty cool thing, Jane. And congratulations to you on that.
Thank you so very much, Pat. It has been a joy and a delight getting to know you and spending time with you and Parker as well. And you're not getting rid of me just yet.
Oh, no.
Don't think I'm just going to slip away into the night and you're never going to hear from me again.
Yeah, we've got things to plan.
You can try.
Yes,
she'll appear at your front door any minute now.
Yeah.
I'll be in Lake Wasota sooner than you realize.
Fingers crossed. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you so much. Take care, guys.
Yep, take care. And thanks to all of you for being with us today as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great day. Matt and Air on Air coming up next. Final week. Enjoy. I'll see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.